The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at the first verse. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at the 8th verse. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's lesson was the gospel lesson from the book of Mark. We've now entered the Advent season. It is the first season of the church liturgical year. And we begin by the telling of Jesus' redemption and his baptism. All this year, most of this year's gospel lessons will come from the book of Mark. Just a sidebar on the book of Mark. Mark is not one of the 12 apostles. Most people assume 12 apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they've got four of them. Well, Mark was not a disciple, but he was a scribe for Peter. And it's felt that the Gospel of Mark is actually Peter's Gospel, but does it matter to the content? Absolutely not. But Mark gets right to the point. He doesn't bother going through any ancestry list or description of his birth. He jumps right into the story itself. Mark then quotes Isaiah about the coming of John the Baptist, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. In the opening sentence, he tells us that God has come among us to bring fruition to God's promised redemption, his new covenant. Now picture this. On the banks of the Jordan River, a man with extremely long hair and a beard that is long as well, but is not combed or trimmed. He dresses in animal skins, and he eats lovely locusts and honey. You know, I might bring that for the next pitch-in. Maybe some locust honey, maybe a couple of chocolate-covered ones, just throw them in there. But most important is John's preaching in the desert. His clothing and appearance was not meant to be just for shock value. It takes us back to a bygone era, the era of Elijah, the Old Testament prophet. John the Baptist basically is stepping out of the Old Testament pages into the New Testament. His role is clearly defined by a history of a community trying to strive to have a relationship with God. He was to prepare the way for God's anointed and the new kingdom that God's Son would establish. And the communal history of Israel saw the way of preparing for God's new kingdom was through repentance. What is repentance? Well, there's a lot of definitions, and I told the adult Bible study group this morning I could have an entire sermon just on repentance itself. But one definition of it is you're going through life and you hit a wall. We can't decide what to do next. A loved one dies, an illness nearly takes our life, or some other catastrophic event. It changes us, puts us in a different direction. It calls for a change in the goals, a reformation of values, and there are forms of repentance. One answer is, it's the old year passing away to the birth of the new year. Yeah, there's something we got to worry about or think about. New Year's resolutions. I'm going with the same one I've had the last 8 years. I'm still trying to lose weight, and I'm still trying to get the garage cleaned. You know, it doesn't clean itself. I put a broom out there in a garbage bag and said, clean yourself. Nothing happens. But anyway, that's beside the point. I got myself off target. But there's a feeling of guilt with broken resolutions. And then I change my ways. So repentance is like a U-turn in life. I decided what I'm doing is wrong, and I'm doing a U-turn, and I'm going the other way. For a second, picture Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, walking on the sea. What does it look like? In your mind, is Jesus clearing the waves like an Olympic hurdler? Or is he deftly sliding side to side to side, getting through the waves like a surfboard expert? Or do you picture the water as calm? We know it impressed the disciples. But do you realize that Jesus had walked into water before? It's when he waded into the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Well, so what? Well, all of heaven broke loose that day. And let's take a closer look at the sense of Jesus' baptism and what it meant for him and what it means for us. Jesus was nearly 30 years old when he went down to be baptized by John. God had told John that he would reveal the Messiah. So John spots Jesus in the crowd, and he says, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Imagine John's shock when Jesus asked to be baptized by him. Jesus assures him that he is sinless, but he does need to be baptized. And Jesus says, "I do it for all righteousness to be fulfilled." Well, what does it mean for righteousness to be fulfilled? Does it mean to set an example like the setting of a new commandment, the 11th commandment, "Thou shalt be baptized"? Probably not. But it's a gracious invitation for us to join into a relationship with him and have our sins washed away. Another way of looking at for all righteousness, when you're out to lunch with a friend, and when the check is put on the table, the friend picks up the check and puts it underneath their plate. Now, that generally means the friend's going to pay the tab. He intends to pay the entire tab. By stepping into the Jordan River, Jesus was accepting the tab of sin for all people. And when he steps out of the river, a voice is heard, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Well pleased, because he's done everything correctly. Imagine a baby not screaming to get its own way, never rolling his eyes at parents when they just don't seem to understand what he's saying. And he never schemed ways to get out of chores. The perfect child. A perfect teenager. Can you imagine? Those were the worst years possible. Three girls? Oh, I'm glad those years are done. Ben wasn't any easier because Ben's too much like me. But anyway, Jesus was the perfect child and young adult. He was a sinless son of Mary. He was perfect, like Adam had been created perfect. And he was perfect of like what God expects of us. Because when what God expects of us comes with an or all of hell will break loose. When Jesus is baptized, he's accepting all of our sin, all of our anger, all of our laziness, all of our worrying, we're a sassy child, or holding a grudge, or any other sin you can list. He accepts them all unto himself. The heavens tore open at Jesus' baptism. Excuse me. The wall that had been separating man and God had now been opened. You know, there was another tearing open. That's when the curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. Again, showing there's no barrier between God and man. The Holy Spirit makes an appearance in the form of a dove. There's another story of a dove in the Bible. When Noah has landed the ark on Mount Ararat, he sends out a dove from the ark, and the dove comes back with an olive branch, the symbol of peace, that God's anger had been subsided, and it was over with, and there was peace between God and man again. Jesus' baptism was quite the event, and so was our baptism, no matter how many years ago. The heavens did rip open when we were baptized. Whether it was to create faith or to strengthen faith, God proclaimed, "This is my child whom I love." The Holy God can claim us sinners as his children because baptism really washes away our sins. The forgiveness we receive there is as real as the baptismal waters dripping down the forehead that is God's promise. And then Satan enters the picture. How can you be a child of God when you think this or have done this or are doing this? How can you consider yourself a child of God? See, Satan causes disruption in our lives just by asking questions. How can you consider yourself a child of God when you sin? Well, the answer is very simple. God said so. God said we are his children. That ends the argument right there. When we start to have those feelings, that Satan go away, God said so, discussion ended. Being baptized means being forgiven. Now, does that then mean after we've been baptized, we can do whatever we want? No. We're baptized for repentance, not recklessness. That's why when the Pharisees and Sadducees came to see John, they weren't sorry for their sins, and they had no intentions of changing their ways at all. So John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." If they truly were sorry, they would change their ways. But the Sadducees and the Pharisees had no intent on changing their ways, and they watched Jesus like a serpent in the grass, just waiting for a chance to get him. They spent 3 years trying to get him because they had no intentions of changing. The reason the Holy Spirit comes to us today is to work change to our actions and words. You know, seeing a video image of Jesus walking on water is something I would enjoy seeing. For that day revealed him to be the Son of God, a perfect human being, the one who picks up the bill for our sins. But you don't need to see a video footage of his baptism to convince you of these truths. Thank God for your baptism, whenever that was, the day on which all of heaven broke loose and poured out on you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.